September 22nd, 2010. Pretty soon we'll have the Recruiting Animal Awards at the end of the year. But right now, I want to know, have you ever wondered what the difference is between a visionary and a thought leader? I have! And I thought that maybe it's just like the difference between a hypocrite and a phony. They sound like the same thing, but according to Julie Birch Hill, she's a British writer, they're not the same thing. A hypocrite has a sense of honor. He says one thing and does another, but he knows what he's up to. He knows what he's doing, and when he's caught red-handed, he's going to admit that it's wrong. Or she. But a phony is a bit more kooky. He's so vain that he can't really admit that he makes mistakes. So he says one thing and he does another, but when he gets caught, he makes up all kinds of excuses for himself, so it really doesn't seem that he's done anything wrong. I was under stress. TV commercial screwed up my brain. It's not my fault. That's the phony. He doesn't just pretend to be what he isn't. He eats his own dog food, and he believes his own baloney. So if I had to match up the visionary and the thought leader to the hypocrite and the phony, I'd say the thought leader is the hypocrite and the visionary is the phony. And here's why, again, maybe I don't have to tell you. It's because the visionary sounds so grandiose. That guy doesn't just consider himself to be an expert. That's not enough. He's not just someone who's a little ahead of the curve. He thinks he's some kind of prophet. So it takes a lot of nerve to call yourself a visionary. And that suggests that the person is somewhat delusional, that he's got an inflated opinion about himself, just like the phony. So you might be desperate for compliments, but if someone calls you a visionary, you should feel a bit nervous because he's either a nut or you are. So Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry! Thank you!
Thank you.
Now let me ask you, Jerry, are there any visionaries in recruiting, someone who can see things that no one else can?
I thought I was.
I thought you might say that, but I don't think so. You might qualify as a thought leader, and you might not. I think you're just an expert.
I was a thought leader last year.
Okay.
Wore me out, dude.
Okay. Ace Stringer, are you here?
Animal, I am here.
Are there any visionaries in recruiting?
Very few.
Well, who is one?
Myself.
Okay. Maureen Sherb, are you here?
I'm here.
Are there any visionaries?
In recruiting?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there are. But
are you a visionary, Maureen?
No. I'm so behind the curve.
Now I just so happens that I got an email this morning from lovely Meg Poland, at MEGTOLAND. She's one of my favorite Gen Y people. Hey, kids aren't allowed on the show, but yes, they are. I always say it's a family show. She can stay, okay? So anyway, Meg Poland sent me an email. She said, who do you think are the five most influential agency recruiters in social media today? And so it could be an agency recruiter, like a real recruiter, or a sourcer. So, you know, I was wondering if anybody had any suggestions. I told her that in terms of agency recruiters, I'd say on social media, I think Lou Adler is still number one, and the reason I say that is because I heard him make a presentation for LinkedIn that really blew my socks off. I thought it was very good. I know he's got lots of articles on ERE and that he's got his own social network. You know what? I don't read those things. But that presentation told me that he's something up there. Anybody else got an opinion? Dead silence. Dave Graziano, are you here?
Yes.
Okay, now you put on your article on the resume strategy interview a whole list of people that you think people should follow. Are any of them visionaries?
In your definition of the word, no. In a commonsensical definition of the word, sure.
What's common sense? I said someone who can see things that other people can't. So is there anybody on that list who follows that definition?
Sure.
Who's that? Give me a name.
Glenn Cathay.
He sees things. He's just an expert, okay? Does anybody else agree with him? First of all, Dave, the guy's name is Glenn Cathay. Cathay is the name of ancient China, okay? Learn how to spell his name. It's not Glenn Cathay, and it said Glenn Cathay. It's not Cathay, okay? Anybody else agree that the Boolean black belt is a visionary?
Yeah, he is a visionary.
Why do you say that? Give
me
an example. Give me an example of his vision.
He is
No, give me an example of his vision.
Okay, I can't give you an example.
Okay, anybody, he's an expert. I told her that he was one of the people I said is influential. Visionary? Nobody. Okay. Anybody else? Dave Graziano, you stuck your neck out. I'll let you do it again.
Greg Savage.
Why is he a visionary?
Unique way of positioning staffing with bottom line profitability.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's something way too complex. Okay, we're moving on. But Dave, I have another message for you. You know, I already told you to learn how to spell Glenn Cathay, okay? You do it all the time. It always irks me, and I never mentioned it before. But also, I think it's time that you decided to change your accent. You sound like Nathan Detroit out of Guys and Dolls. And I don't, you know, why don't you become an American? You're over 50.
Next question, please.
Animal, you did not just say that. Please, God.
Yes, I did.
Animal, I'm in Boston today. They all sound like Dave.
I don't believe it. You're from Boston?
No, I'm in Boston today.
Okay.
We love you.
Okay, Dave, you're still on the target, the hot seat right now. Okay. You know, your phone connection is terrible. Okay. If it's going to be staticky like that, you won't be saying anything. But in the meantime, we're sort of basing this whole show on this article that Resume Strategy did about your ideas about relational recruiting and transactional recruiting. And I have to tell you something. At the beginning of that interview, you started right off boasting that you've got a master's in clinical psychology, and that gave you an advantage over experienced recruiters from day one. You know, I thought that was a bit proud, okay? And I wanted to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself on the vanity scale, 10 being the highest?
Next question.
Jerry, who's got the guts to rate themselves on the vanity scale? Jerry, come on, you're an honest man.
Hey, Dave Manister's muted. He wants to say something.
Dave Manister, Kingfish.
Is muted.
Everybody's okay. No, you're right, he is muted. These things self-mute. Dave Manister, go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to say something a little while ago, but I think it's kind of moot point now. You can only tell who the visionaries are, like, after the fact. You look back at, like, the last generation of recruiting and, like, the internet, the dot-com bubble.
Yeah.
And you look at guys like Bill Warren, you look at guys like Jeff Taylor, they were visionary. They created billion-dollar companies.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the people now, 10 years from now, we're going to look back and be like, oh, okay, that guy was really, like, he saw things coming. But right now we don't know which of these.
Okay, so, but, you know, we got a lot of people on their own websites and on their profiles on a million other sites like LinkedIn. They call themselves visionaries, Dave. They're full of crap then, according to what you're saying, because nobody knows. Or maybe they know. I don't know. Maybe they got the inside.
There's always a million people who call themselves visionaries. You only know after the fact which ones were full of crap and which ones were the real deal.
Okay, but then they might actually know because they've got the insight that nobody else does, or they might be lunatics, like I said. Am I right about that?
You are absolutely right. The judgment
call. Okay, thank you. Who wants to measure themselves on the vanity scale? I'll give myself an 8. Who else? Who's got guts? Vanity scale, come on.
Define vanity.
Okay. Some vanity.
10 on the visionary scale.
Wikipedia says vanity is belief in one's abilities or attractiveness. It's excessive belief in one's abilities or attractiveness to others. But I would say, you know, interest in being well-regarded by others or, you know, think you deserve to be well-regarded by others. It's kind of vague. Usually it means excessive.
So I give myself an 8. I give myself an 8 on the ability scale and a 12 on the attractiveness scale.
Damn.
Okay, we're going to move on. Now, I just want to mention that Margo just was, you know, piped up there, HR Margo, and you know, she sent me an email. She sent me a happy birthday. It was her birthday, I think, on Monday or yesterday. I can't remember. Anyway, she sent me an email on Monday afternoon inviting me to, with other eminent people, other visionaries, to come and, you know, call into her show, Compassionate HR, at 7:30 on Monday night, because I had recommended the guest, Amitai Giverts. Right? And so what happened is I call in, I didn't say anything, she kept asking me to speak. And then, you know, after the half hour was over, the show was over, I hung up, they went into the after show, and the knives came out, her and the guest started trashing me. And you know what? That happened to me before. Paul Paris on the ex-recruiter show, he invited me to come on and ask that guy from Recruiter Earth, Chris Lavoie, to talk to him, to ask some questions. When I came on, he cut me off, and then after the show, all my pals brought out the knives. I don't think we should let anybody like him on this show ever again. Stop inviting me if you can't take it. And once I'm there, you know, just don't talk to me. Don't open my mic. Anyway, I should mention, you know, the visionary vanity. Hold on. There seems to be a shortage of unconference leaders in Toronto. I have been asked to be a session leader on October 28th at the Radical Recruits Unconference. I don't know anything about it. Talk to Jeff Webb. Okay, before we go on, job hunters in review. You know, who's making noise? Who's making noise on a terrible phone?
It's not me.
Okay, good.
Animal, I just have to go back and say Steve Levy is a visionary recruiter. And the reason why, I know you want to move on, but Steve does, and you know why he's visionary? Because he will pick up the phone and help you whether you have $1,000.
I'm going to hang up on you in a second.
Helpful.
Yeah, that's not visionary.
Helpful.
That's in the next part of the show, okay? What Jerry said is right anyway. Job hunters in review. We had 3 job hunters on recently. Go to recruitinganimalshow.com. I put on up there is a before and after picture of our last week's guest, John Hyland. We criticized his picture with big hair, and he's replaced it. Now, you know what? He looks a little square, but I think he's got a lot more positive energy in his new picture. RecruitingAnimalShow.com, www.recruitinganimalshow.com, before and after. We had an immediate effect on this guy, okay? Does anybody want to comment on his new picture compared to the old one?
I think the old hairdo is cuter.
What's better for a job hunter?
You know, if you're Gen Y, you want to look sharp and snappy.
Okay,
Gen
thank
y,
you.
What?
Anybody else got? Okay, pass it on. Next thing.
Andy Gregory just made a good point on Twitter. He said there's 61,391 visionaries on LinkedIn.
Thanks, Andy. Thank you.
Love Andy Gregory.
You know what? And they're closing. Here's the problem. They're closing up the mental houses. I mean, there's been a number of cases here in Toronto.
We can tell.
Yeah, no, the visionaries, thanks, Maureen, where the visionaries, they try to get into the mental health ward. There's no place for them. And honestly, they end up pushing someone on the subway tracks. It's happened a few times. I'm not kidding. There's a lot of visionaries walking around. And they all
animal.
Yeah.
He didn't do, Maureen failed to share my additional point on that tweet that there are 52 people who indicate on LinkedIn they are dumbass.
Okay.
I get it. Okay.
No. Listen,
and then there's a third point.
And there is a third point that there is one that says he's a visionary and a dumbass. My thought we should swap the dumbasses and the visionaries. There's probably more like 52 visionaries.
Okay.
Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Okay, here we are.
Animal.
Yes.
I remember one time working with a client in St. Louis, and the chief technical officer changed his title to chief technical visionary officer or visionary.
Yeah. Well, he was a mental case, right?
We never did business with him, yeah.
Okay, fine. Now listen, okay, one more thing. I want to send this message out to Kimba Green. That's her real name, at Kimba Green. K-I-M-B-A and then Green. That sounds like a name that Tarzan would give his kid, isn't it? Kimba.
Tomorrow, be nice.
What are you saying?
Don't anyone come on the show and tell me to be nice, okay? You got your own show, Compassionate HR. Okay, now here's the message for Kimba. When you're on Twitter, and I think all of the family, I told her the same thing today. If you say, wow, I'm really looking forward to that, and you don't put a link, people are going to wonder, what are you looking forward to? Or, I'm going to read that, and you don't put a link. Or, this is terrific, and you don't put a link. Your own readers are frustrated. And if you put a link in, the guy you're going to, you know, linking to, they like it. You're sucking up to them. You're getting more social media credibility or whatever, follower ability or power or influence in your bank account. So always put a link in, kids. It really, when you refer to something, put a link in. Kimba Green especially. Anyway, now we're coming to the key part of the show about transactional versus relational recruiting. And, you know, I got some clips.
Man.
Yeah, sorry, Jerry. Jerry canceled. He was supposed to be the star of the show. He canceled at the last minute, and then I changed everything. He says, oh, I'm coming after all. You're on the sidelines today, pal. You don't call the show. Anyway, I put a lot of clips.
Use me for my fantastic shout-out, and then kick me to the side.
Yeah, I got
the
you car. On tape. I don't know.
You're cool, dude.
Okay. I have a lot of clips from H.R. Margo's show from the other night. And I'm going to play my own definition of transactional recruiting right now.
How do you define transactional recruiting?
It's not a long-term relationship you're looking for. You just want to recruit somebody, put them in a job, and say goodbye to them. You're never going to call them again. Your client will think that you're trying to recruit them out of their company. It's the last thing you want. You just want to do business with the guy. And then there's guys like Dave Graziano or Amitai Giverts who said that isn't being a human being. The candidate's a human being. You have to treat him with, I don't know, like he's your brother or something like that.
Okay. Now, I don't know where I my way is. I'm going to tell Dave Graziano's sad story that he told Resume Strategy. And anyone can interrupt. I've got all kinds of material, clips and quotes from all famous people. But we're going to focus it on Dave until unless that doesn't work. Dave says, when I first relocated to St. Louis, I saw an ad for a recruiter. It was at a high-volume shop. Key word, high volume. You could see the early warning signs there that transactional recruiting was coming. He thinks of it as something different from me. We've got a different definition. He says, but I did what no one else had ever done in the company. I made my first placement in 5 days. So he's only been there 5 days. If he spoke to a candidate, you know they don't have a long-term relationship. It's pretty quick. Okay? And so then he says, why was I able to do this? I'm a master's level clinical psychologist, and my background in counseling gave me a leg up on all the other recruiters who'd been there for a long time. I had empathy. I understood the importance of building trust. Instead of transactional recruiting, I did relational recruiting. Anybody want to jump in there, or should I keep going?
So was that degree in psychology about as valuable as his Rhode Island accent?
That's not a Rhode Island accent, by the way. Who wants to talk?
I want to know something. Why can't there be an in-between?
Okay, no in-betweens. No in-betweens.
It's
okay.
All in-between.
There
That's
is.
Where it all is.
It's in-between.
Come on, people.
Oh, here's Amy's definition of relational recruiting.
Rather than actually developing a relationship, recruiters have a tendency to default to a process or to a system. So an example I would give maybe to illustrate what I think relational recruiting looks like is where a sourcer would be.
Okay, I'll cut him off. I'll tell you what resume.
All I was thinking about was his accent. I couldn't even.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what resume strategy. Who,
is that
you know,
Kathy Manis?
Yeah, that was, and I was totally, like, pushed aside. I am so insulted, I can't tell you.
Okay.
You announced in public that your engagement is off. You wanted to say that here as well, or is that private?
Not image? That in public. Oh, my God.
Okay, well, you said in public.
I did not.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, you did, Animal.
I have one comment then. Hey, Kathy, how you doing?
And Blake Cannon wants to know how many of the visionary recruiters that you're talking about are actually recruiting, not the trainers, but the recruiters.
Just
okay,
me.
Forget it. Listen, we're losing the audience. We're losing the audience. This is what resume.
Answer the question, Animal.
This is what Resume Strategy says, and she's not a recruiter. She says in relational recruiting, there's always a conversation about the candidate's goals. It's clear that the recruiter has spent quite a bit of time talking to the hiring manager, like they're going to give you time because the job description is well-defined and the recruiter can speak about it in detail, including intangibles like team culture and where the company's going. The recruiter has read the resume and asks relevant questions to make sure it's a fit. She's upfront about what she knows and what she doesn't know. She gives the candidate enough time and information to assess whether this is a good career move. I'm just going to go on a bit more. The recruiter coaches the candidate in preparing for the interview. The number of people being interviewed is very small. The interviewer has been prepped. After the interview, the recruiter follows up immediately to debrief, keeps the candidate informed about the decision-making process. If an offer is forthcoming, the recruiter helps the candidate in salary negotiations and serves as an advocate for the candidate to make sure her needs are met. If there will be no offer, they let the candidate know and give some indication as to why. Candidates don't expect to become lifelong buddies with the recruiter. They just want some respect.
With all due respect, I have to totally disagree with that. She just described a transactional. She has no relationship with this candidate beyond that transaction. I disagree 100%. But let me make this comment.
Well, I don't get that. What would you say? It didn't make any sense to me. Go ahead. Make whatever comment you want.
To me, any third-party contingency recruiter that says that they do anything more than transactional recruiting is full of it as far as I'm concerned.
What do you mean by transactional recruiting? Now, I can tell you what all these guys mean by transactional. What do you mean?
What I mean by transactional recruiting is they're dealing with that candidate for that transaction. Executive-level headhunters may have long-term relationships with their candidates. For the most part, a contingent third-party recruiter does not. They reach out to that candidate for that particular role. Yeah, they may reach out from time to time, but they're not building a relationship. They're working on that particular transaction.
Yeah, you see, there's a problem with the terminology. I think of it like you. When I'm hiring people, like I've been sent on searches to find people who don't have transactional experience. They have relational experience. We're not talking about recruiters. It always means that it's not a time-limited relationship. But with these guys like Dave Graziano, who he has yet to speak up, and the resume strategy and all these other know-it-alls are saying is that transactional recruiting, this is how Mark Sullivan describes it, minimal interaction with the candidate, no follow-up after interview, lack of a solid relationship with the hiring manager, and essentially you don't treat the person with respect.
That's just crappy recruiting.
Jerry,
what do you call someone that you work with and you've placed four or five times throughout their career? Even though it's transactional, through the proper interviewing process, you build a relationship with that individual through your professional
effort. Sure, I've got relationships with people.
Right.
You're a contract recruiter.
Placed some people, permanent placement candidates, that I've placed several times. I do have a relationship with them. I know who they are. Their wife talks to me when I call. Hey, how you been, Jerry?
But, Jerry, will you have more than 15 of those in your career?
Probably not. No, what are you supposed to just keep recruiting your candidates that you place all the time?
No, my point is that overall, a contingency recruiter is transactional in nature. So you may have a few people that you have relationships in place over and over and over again.
Yeah, they're not
but
talking
overall,
about
it's a
that,
transactional.
Though, Mike what? Astringer, they're not talking about that. They're talking about someone who doesn't – you're like, here's you know, the resume strategy defines the transactional recruiter as someone who doesn't read your resume if you're a candidate. They just look at your job titles and the years you've been at the company and the name of the company, which is really the key points. And then they're rude. I mean, it's someone who calls you up with a heavy sales pitch. They're not really interested in whether the job's for you. They just want to get resumes out in front of the hiring manager.
But like Jerry said, that's just bad recruiting. That's not.
I would say so.
Animal.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You sit back and you look at a guy that makes a placement in 5 days. I'd like to know when he made his next placement.
He's right here.
Yeah, how long did it take you to make your second placement? I mean, does that mess your ratios up?
If you stop talking, I can answer. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Well, I needed to finish talking first.
Go have some coffee.
Did somebody else call off
at the end
let
of my
Dave
group.
Graziano speak. Can you let Dave speak? He's the focal point of the show. Go ahead.
At the end of my first 30 days, I had two hires and one fill. The fill being I had developed some
we
business.
We know what a fill is.
I don't know what a fill is. What's a fill?
What? A lot of people don't know what a fill is.
I know what it is.
A lot of people don't know what meant by transactional and relational also. That's why we're having this discussion. So a fill is when a recruiter in the third-party world, contingency world, agency world, finds the job order, and one of his colleagues fills it, hence the name fill.
I call that a split.
Okay.
All right.
It's a fill in our business. Especially in the St. Louis market. Sounds like you probably came out of K&D in St. Louis.
That's exactly right.
It's okay. I understand how it is.
Dave, yeah. You were at K&D?
I was at
Dave Graziano?
Who?
Dave Graziano, you were at K&D?
Kendall and Davis, yes.
Dude!
From 81 to 83.
Number five, baby.
Okay, you guys, enough of it. I have to cut you off. I don't care about your history. Talk about that on Jerry's show. Now, here's what Dave said about being a relational recruiter. I did my best to be genuine. What does that mean, Dave?
That means I talk to the person the same way I would like to be talked to if they were asking me some difficult questions regarding compensation.
What does that mean?
An example would be if I was recruiting you, I would say, Animal, where are you currently in terms of compensation?
How does a transactional recruiter ask that question?
I don't know. In my definition of transactional, I don't know if the transactional recruiter ever gets to that.
Of course they do, Dave. How could they?
Generally, you don't know what the definition is yet. That's why we're having this.
Well, go ahead, Dave. Put it out there.
I would tend to agree with what Mark Sullivan said. A transactional recruiter, and this does not...
You know what? Don't agree with anybody. You agree with people so you can avoid doing things yourself. You tell us what your definition is.
Candidate applies to applicant tracking system or contacts recruiter. Candidate does not hear anything from the recruiter other than a complimentary email. End of story. That's transactional.
How many agency recruiters are using ATS systems for their first point of contact? That's something that I don't know.
I don't know that either. I bet not many. Okay, let's say that whenever a candidate contacts a recruiter, regardless of the channel of contact or the touch point.
Email.
Right. Don't hear anything back.
Well, if I get a resume from a guy who's clearly nowhere in the game, I'm not going to reply to him.
Okay.
I don't have time.
Is Jerry a transactional recruiter, Dave?
No, I don't believe Jerry is a transactional recruiter.
No, because he was one of the people... He was one of your esteemed people to follow. Did that put him off the pedestal? Did that knock him off the pedestal?
Not at all. Not in the least.
Why not?
Because Jerry is a person, if you remember correctly, we had a discussion back in the wintertime about having pizza in his driveway with his customers and knowing his candidates.
He just said he doesn't reply to resumes.
Hold on, Animal. I didn't say I didn't reply to resumes. I don't have the time to reply to the 50 people every week that send me a resume. I don't even know what they do, how they got my email. I don't have the time.
But by Dave's definition, that would make you a transactional recruiter.
Jerry's a transactional recruiter. He just builds good relationships and highly skilled.
Have you guys mentioned visionary?
Oh,
no, Jerry.
Okay, let's move on a little more. Dave says, when I worked in another firm, the average time to fill a job was 75 days. I did it in 55 through relational recruiting. He cut 20 days off the fill time because the other guys were transactional and he's relational. He says, if somebody called me, I stopped to talk to them. In a 15-minute conversation, I can find out more about a person than an ATS. Yes, I leveraged the ATS, the applicant tracking system, but I took a transactional recruiting model and made it relational, and that was the key to my success. So if he got a phone call, he always talked to the candidate. Jerry, do you always talk to the people who call you?
No, absolutely.
Okay. Dave, do you know people who don't?
Yeah.
Tell me what they do.
They're not in recruiting.
I don't talk to every person who calls me. That's ridiculous.
How many people call you?
How many people call me?
Yeah.
I probably get 5 calls a day I don't return.
Okay, Dave. Dave Graziano.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. There were people in your office who weren't talking to people who called them. Is that right?
That's correct, and they were not interacting with the hiring managers on a regular basis also.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, interacting with the hiring manager. I have to tell you, it's often very difficult to get information from the client who gives you the job. Hold on a second, Dave, and they might tell you all kinds of crap about how their people are important and they need somebody yesterday, and you can't get them into an interview when you finally have the candidate, and you lose the candidate. Jerry and I were talking about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you tell me, how do you get all that great information that Resume Strategy said we should be getting about the company? Now, I know that Jennifer McClure, the Cincy recruiter, she gets it because part of her job and part of her fee is based on her going out and hanging out at the company for 2 days. But she only works in her own area. The greater Cincinnati area, and that's, she charges for it too. I don't know how many clients want you to come out there and hang around their company for 2 days, asking all kinds of questions. So I don't know how you can get that information that the Resume Strategy says a relational recruiter has and a transactional recruiter doesn't. Because when I call candidates, half the time I have to say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Your turn, Dave.
Wow. When you're
ridiculous.
That was heavy.
When you're a corporate recruiter, which those numbers reflected, it's easier to get in front of the hiring manager, if especially if they're in the same building you're in. It's easier to find time to meet with them. And when I was
So let me ask you something. So the Resume Strategy is wrong when she kind of insists that a good non-corporate recruiter, external recruiter, third-party recruiter can come in with all that information she said they should have. She's wrong, isn't she?
No, she's not wrong.
How do you get it?
You have to be very, very persistent, and it takes time.
Yeah, and they're gonna say, screw you, I got another recruiter who will work it for me without bugging me.
There's an interesting thing about what Dave's saying here, and a lot of people don't understand.
Who's talking?
Dave Pulse. He comes from a very he comes from a very structured environment, a very specific environment. He comes from a highly trained individual such as Clyde Donovan, the DeMartino, the Mike Payne.
Who are you talking about, Jerry? We're not talking about visionaries anymore.
Dave got the whatever his name is. Dave, he came out of KND. I know. Jerry, you know it too, don't you?
Okay. Yeah. Dave Pulse. Just get to the point. Well, you've never been on the show before. If you want to come back, figure out how we work here, okay?
Wow.
Hey, Dave, I'll explain Animal to you.
Just get to the point.
Let me set the stage here a little bit. I invited my friend Dave. This is his first experience with the Animal Show.
Sorry.
So he doesn't know anything about how you're a madman.
You should have prepped him.
I sent him an email. I said, check out the show.
Okay, let him talk now before I lose my listeners, okay?
A good recruiter would have prepped him.
Yeah, that's right.
2 minutes.
Dave, Jerry's a transactional inviter. Go
and
ahead.
Evidently he's a transactional friend, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
There we
Dave
go.
Pulse, Dave Pulse, get it out. Spit it out now, okay?
The environment that Dave was in is a highly structured environment. That's how he was able to succeed so quickly, is what I'm saying.
Nobody else was succeeding. He came in and he was immediately much better than everybody because he used he went outside the structure. He was outside the box. He broke the rules.
Well,
there was a rule of don't talk to any candidate. Rule of don't find out what the job order is. Is that the rule you're thinking that he broke?
Well, sounds like it to me. Dave Graziano, come back.
I didn't break any rules whatsoever. Quite the contrary. Dave Pulse is exactly correct when he said the environment was highly structured, and I did it right by the numbers.
Okay, so how come the other guys were losers?
They weren't losers. They just didn't make a placement.
You came in, make any placements. You were better than them from day one.
Maybe Dave placed his grandma right off the bat.
Okay. Look, let's not let the conversation degenerate. Dave, I've got a structure on this show, too. Can you answer the question I gave you? If you're a third-party recruiter, how can you get all the information from the hiring manager, that Resume Strategy, the guru now about relational recruiting?
You have
how can you get that information?
You have to sell your services to the hiring manager and persuade the hiring manager that you have his best interest at heart.
Give us an example. Dave, you're good at role-playing. Tell us how you would do that.
After the initial introduction, I would say, Animal, this is Dave Graziano. I'm with Dave Graziano Staffing.
No. He says, yeah, I'm looking for somebody. Now you've got all these things that she wants you to get. You want me to read them by, pass them by you again?
Quite all right. Can you please describe for me the type of person that would be successful in your environment?
Yeah.
What environments do you see these people coming out of? What company did your last hire come out of?
Uh-huh.
What do you have about working with third-party recruiters? You want me to keep going?
Yeah, I want you to. Yeah, she says the job description is very well defined.
Yep.
So you know, if they give you a formal job description, those are usually pretty vague. They might tell you that they're interested in specialty chemicals and food ingredient backgrounds, when all they're really interested in is flavors. Number one.
Okay.
So how are you going to specify that? How are you going to get them to tell you that stuff up front? And how are you going to get them to tell you about the team culture and where the company's going, all the intangibles she mentioned?
Well, you may begin by asking the manager about what he thinks makes people successful in his group. How many projects did he do that came in the IT world? I'd ask the question, how many projects that you did that came in on budget? That came in over budget. That number's usually known throughout an organization. In the food science world, I'm not as glib in the technology, but from what you said, I'd probably tie that into what kind of products actually went to market, what enhancements were made to the existing product. And again, you learn a lot by asking a hiring manager, where did your last hire come from? Tell me the five most salient characteristics, non-technical characteristics of your most successful person. How does someone work for you? Those are questions you begin to get mileage out of, and you begin to develop, dare I say the word, relationship, because you're showing the person you have their interest at heart. To me, that's empathy.
How much time do you need with the hiring manager to get all the information that
resume
strategy needs?
I've never been able to do it in one phone call. I know people that have been able to. It usually takes me two or three conversations. And then when there's the luxury
over how much time? Over how much time? Because you're starting to recruit on the position right away. You might be getting wrong people if you don't know exactly what product they're most interested in.
You have to be able to flesh out as much as you can in the first 15 to 20 minute conversation.
As soon as you said, this is Dave Graziano, I'd have been diving under my desk because I think I was about to get whacked.
Well,
yeah.
I really,
you keep finding out these things as you go along, man.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute, Jerry. Can I comment on that? I really appreciate that ethnic reference. Thanks a lot.
Oh come on. Go report us, Nathan. Go report us. And you know what? Here, speaking of ethnic references, is Andy Fackwire here? Assad Fackwire? I got a new name for him. He's got a show name. He's graduated, but he's not here today, so
Is Derek here today? He got a new job.
Yeah, Derek Stolpa, you know what? If I was giving him a name for the show, it would be No Relo. But, in fact, the guy finally decided that he was going to relocate. His family won't be unhappy anymore. Congratulations.
He's not reloing. He's going across country.
Yeah,
well,
he's going to live there. That's all he had to do all for those other jobs as well. He has decided. We had someone on the show who said he turned down every opportunity if you're on a lousy phone, don't talk, okay? That's the rule on this show. He said he turned down all kinds of – you know what? I get a lot of complaints about letting those guys who are at the bottom of swimming pools talk on this show. I get a lot of complaints for the sake of my listeners. Okay.
Thank
anyway.
You. You are such a big whiny baby.
That's right. Okay.
Wow.
Anyway.
Animal, I got to vote a little early today, but I would like to take issue with Dave on one thing he said on Karen's blog.
Go ahead.
Dave, you are a corporate recruiter, correct?
I have been, yes.
So on Karen's blog.
You do both.
On Karen's blog, you said that you encourage job seekers to bypass the corporate recruiter and connect directly with the hiring manager. I was very surprised to read that, considering as a corporate recruiter, not only are you putting those processes in place that you obviously don't believe in, but you're also encouraging candidates to go against the internal process of a company. I mean, that, to me, is lessening their chances of ever getting the job.
Maybe not. And the reason being, it all depends on what kind of relationship the hiring manager and the recruiter have.
If it's an internal recruiter, they better have a pretty damn good relationship.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. So that if a candidate were to contact the hiring manager directly, a hiring manager would say, have you spoken to my recruiter right away? Okay? Would say right away to the candidate. Candidate would say no. Next phone call from the hiring manager, I would think, would be to the recruiter saying, can you please talk to this guy?
Because
I don't know about that.
Okay.
And recruiters being humans, don't you realize that's going to piss off the internal recruiter and lessen your chances of getting into the process?
Blackballed.
Can I say something, Jerry, or animal?
Dave Pulse.
I'm going to give you a situation where a guy sent a resume in after I talked to the hiring manager, and he contacted him on his own, and they refused to talk to him because they thought he was unethical.
Yeah, but that's as a third-party recruiter, not as a corporate recruiter, right? It's a little different.
Right.
I've had that many times.
Yeah, my candidate went directly to the hiring manager.
Yeah, I've had them do that. They're finished with me, even though
right.
they send me a note after saying, you can surely understand, because I ruled them out. They weren't qualified. And then
right.
they wrote letters to the hiring manager and said bad things about me after I spent time talking to them like a sucker, like a bleeding
right.
heart, relational recruiter. It doesn't pay. What about the candidates? What about them? They're really relational. They don't give a hoot about you.
Dave,
the interesting thing about Dave is Dave was trained by a guy named Kevin DiMartino, and this is exactly how they trained those people in that environment.
Train them like what?
You know, the structure that he's talking about.
Okay, so but he sort of, I got the impression that he came in with his own unique ideas, his master's of social work, and that's what moved him ahead, because he did things that no one else could do. They were taking it this other place, 75 days to fill a job. He moved it down to 55.
He
came
in 55, if you'd let me answer the question you asked me about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, answer that question.
I built relationships with the internal hiring managers. I didn't rely on sending off the resume through the applicant tracking system by itself. I went upstairs where their offices were and knocked on their door and said, do you have a few minutes?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
In 85, they didn't have an ATS, baby.
I realize that, Jerry. I'm talking about what Animal's referring to in the article that Karen wrote. Okay.
Well, Jerry, if you remember the KD environment, you weren't even allowed to send a resume.
Right.
No,
I was going to mention that
presentations.
I mean, during your first month, I mean, I remember I was just in the classroom just reading the books.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even expected to make a placement. I mean, they really wanted that foundation in place before you began to get on the phone.
I was trained by two people, Mike Conway and Jerry Chrisman.
I know Mike.
You know Conway? Okay, Conway.
I don't care about your own buddy.
Name.
Don't you get it?
Enough name.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I was trained in St. Louis with Kendall and Davis also. And Jerry was trained with Kendall and Davis also.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so some of that's what makes us the best that we do.
Okay, I thought it all made you, you know, like part of the Borg, automatons. Listen, I'm going to read you just a bit of how resume strategy talks about the transactional process. She said, the recruiter's goal is to put as many vaguely qualified candidates as possible in front of the hiring manager as quickly as possible.
That's absurd.
If there's a telephone call, the entire conversation is a heavy sales pitch. The only questions are thrown out there to verify a match against the job qualifications. I don't know what's wrong with that. The recruiter uses a bunch of keywords to pull resumes from a database and then, as I said before, just reads the job titles, the companies, and the degrees. The recruiter can't answer basic questions about the job, the culture, the timelines of the search, or the decision-making process. I actually thought Dave did a good job on telling us how we should go about getting all that information. There's a lot of pressure in the transactional recruiter on the candidate to make a decision right away without thinking. There's a ton of talk about how the candidate is perfect for the job.
This is absurd.
Okay, hold on.
Karen, that's wrong. That's all wrong.
And we respect her. We respect her, and we're saying
I don't know where she's coming up with this information.
You know what? Maybe there's a lot of body shops that do it like that. She says the interviewers, when the candidate actually goes out to the company, the interviewers don't really know anything about their background, and after the interview, there's no follow-up with the candidate. If the job offer comes, the salary is a mismatch, or the candidate is on her own in salary negotiations, which lots of them want to be, by the way. Lots of them want to handle their own salary negotiations. She says, I'm almost done. If the recruiter gets involved, she said, all the recruiter wants is to put heavy pressure on the candidate to sign. Don't ask for more. And she says she gets this information from her clients, and she's a resume writer. That's what they tell her, their experiences with recruiters, and that's why they don't want any part of them.
Well, that's
a lot of bullshit.
That is a whole world of unbelievable. I can't believe any of that. I can see where there might be a recruiter or two that thinks that that's how you go about making placements. They're out of business. They're not sending anybody an invoice. As far as that whole description there being some business model that agencies are either the transactional type, which is that, or they're the relational type, no way. That's patently absurd, all of that.
Someone's on a runway somewhere.
Okay. Did someone not get to talk who wants to talk? There's a lot of people here. Did someone did not talk who would like to speak? Area code 614.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Area code 614, you want to say something? 614? No. Who said yeah?
How about 416?
Okay, go ahead, 416.
Karen?
It's resume strategy. It is.
Yay!
Oh! It's the one that you're sitting out there taking my name in vain. What I gave you is what the feedback that I'm getting from my clients. I've got clients who never want to speak to a recruiter again because that's exactly the experience that it looked like. They were treated like shit. They didn't get answers to their questions.
Wow.
They never got their phone calls
tell
returned.
Her, don't talk all
that's
like that
my
on
baby
the
girl.
Show, especially in a little baby's voice. Yeah, okay.
Okay, they were treated like excrement puppet. And they never want to deal with a recruiter again.
We use the term bodily waste on this show, okay, if you have to say that. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, whatever. I've got a lot of clients now who they will not take a recruiter's call. They get 5 to 6 calls a year, and they're, you know, I'm never going to do it again because of those kinds of experiences. I don't know what's happening on the other side. I'm not a recruiter. I'm telling you what it looks like from a candidate's point of view. When you do that, what I call transactional stuff, you're gonna end up alienating the candidates.
Yeah, Karen.
When you can answer the questions about the job, when you do the follow-up, when you do the prep, that ends up being a great experience, and they'll deal with the recruiter again.
Yeah, Karen, the kind of business model that you're talking about, and there is a certain group of staffing companies that follow what I guess we're all saying is the transactional model, and those are the, quote, international staffing firms. Now, these international firms did not come and learn how we all do business over on this continent, and they more or less have shopping lists that they email to each other. It's a send me your 3 top people, I'll send them to my client, and there is no real communication there. You're talking about a group of people that do business absolutely outside of our typical fashion here.
The Somali pirates are
signed up on these vendors' lists at these giant companies where all they are getting are scant details emailed out in a HR requisition.
Okay, Jerry, we got your point. Let me ask resume strategy a question. What level people are you talking about? Because Jerry's talking about, you know, run-of-the-mill programmers. That's who these Indian guys are promoting. Karen,
no, they do it with accountants and engineers and all kinds of specific disciplines.
Okay,
it's usually the financial discipline. It's any of the credentialed professionals. They just don't want to deal
level?
With you.
Give me a title. Slow down, okay? You talk a little too fast, okay? Slow down.
Well, I talk fast, puppet. Oh, that's too fast.
Oh. Yes, okay. Just let me hear the titles you're talking about because I'm losing you. What titles? Give us 3 or 4 titles.
IT project manager, senior business analyst.
Yep.
Project engineer. Another one was he was a biotechnical scientist, and I don't know what the title is that he was recruiting for, but he specialized in nanotechnology for surgery.
Okay. Really? Okay. Well,
yeah.
Fine. Yeah, fine. Anybody
and
else?
And they're all. The problem is that It may be that they're international companies. The candidate doesn't know that, and they're going to
take
the whole bunch of you.
Hold on, Animal. I'm sure it is.
Well, we don't know, so let's put that to the side.
Wait. There's a difference between a world-class recruiter and a puny recruiter. A world-class recruiter does what Jerry Albright does, and a puny recruiter sprays and prays and treats people like chattel.
Hey, one day a week, though, I am not world-class, let me tell you.
No.
Okay. Okay. Let's see if somebody else wants to talk. I think Karen came through as area code 614 instead of 416, which suggests maybe that's an omen or some kind of supernatural message to me.
Or you're dyslexic.
Okay, maybe so. Anyway, does anybody else want to talk who hasn't had a chance?
No.
No.
Area code 215, you want to say something? Have I called on you? 215-217-317.
I'm good.
Okay, 650. Anybody want to say something, 650?
I heard you called off your engagement.
Okay, sorry about that.
Animal, I have a question
Animal,
for Dave.
Animal,
how am I going to live that down now?
No,
okay?
listen, Animal. I tried to keep it a secret that you and I broke off our engagement, but I can't help it. It's just, Kathy and Manna found out that we broke off our engagement.
Get a room. Okay, area code 949. Area code 949.
That's Rayanne.
Rayanne, you got anything? I can hear you, Rayanne. Got anything to say, hit girl? Anything to say besides praise for Jerry? Jerry's got a little too much praise on this show, okay?
Jealous.
I deserve
I'd like
it, man.
I'd like for us to actually rate Jerry's ego scale. Can we do that?
Ooh.
You can do it. Do it at his show, okay? That's all the rating happens on his show, okay? We moved on.
Animal, I got a question for Dave.
Okay.
Dave, you call yourself a social recruiting strategist. What does that mean? Does that mean you get all your candidates from Twitter and Facebook? What exactly does that mean? I was curious.
No, I believe in aggressively sourcing and referring for candidates.
Referring.
Yes.
But so I mean, that's what I would assume somebody of your caliber and your experience, but why would you call yourself a social recruiting strategist? I just wasn't clear what that meant.
It's important to be able to leverage the tools that we have today with full life cycle recruiting.
I think that's just a marketing ploy.
But probably the wrong branding for a senior recruiter that you know, you want people to think that you or potential clients to think that you do more than just go out on the internet and find your candidates. Just my opinion, of course.
Dave?
Yeah.
You just want to think about that? You can come back and tell us what you think later. He's saying you're branding yourself improperly. It looks like you're just scooping people off the internet, as opposed to doing all the sophisticated things you just told us you do.
Well, if that's how he hears it.
Okay, well, he's just giving you some good feedback. Area code 403, is that Laura Vieser?
Hello, Animal. It's Laura.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, she's putting me in. You know what? She's putting me in thinking of the wham bam thank you ma'am kind of recruiting that Resume Strategy was talking about. Go ahead, Laura.
How's it going? I've been listening online, and I thought I have a quick call, and I just can't really get past that whole. I can't remember who brought it up, but the recommendation that Dave put on Resume Strategy's article there that job seekers should go straight to hiring managers.
Yeah.
I guess
really
I'm not too sure.
I'm
not too sure
that part.
If any
Dave,
of you guys know, but I actually moved into the corporate world.
Oh, you do? You moved into the corporate side
I moved into
now?
The corporate world a few months ago, yeah. And I guess one of the things that I found, my job as a corporate recruiter, is to assess a candidate's not only their technical ability, but also their cultural fit into our company. And you know, if there are candidates going out there and trying to find my hiring managers, number one, they're going to send them straight back to me. And if they're going to be incessant about it and just, you know, try and plow their way through to my hiring managers after I've asked them specifically not to do that, they're not going to get a job here.
Shut her down.
You know, that's not the way – there's a process here, and the process is for a reason. And the reason is we're so fierce of our culture and our dynamic here that – if someone's going to try and go behind our back in order to do that, then I'm sorry. That's not the kind of person we want.
You know how Maureen always made a big fuss that Work Farce had a sexy voice? This girl's got a sexy voice. Okay?
We all love Laura Vieser.
Thanks, guys. That's all I wanted to say.
Anybody else? We're at the end of the show. We're going to be going to Jerry's after show in a few minutes. Anybody else got something to say? Has the topic been wrapped up? Resume strategy, have we made you more famous on this show than you've ever been before?
Yeah, other than that table dancing incident.
Okay, that was before our time. That was before our time. Okay, anybody else? Nobody else. Nobody else. We're out!
Adamo, before Jerry talks, are you still there? Can we tell him our secret?
Yes, I am.
Can we tell him our secret?
That we're engaged?
No, not that secret.
Starbucks?
No, no secrets. You keep those in the vault. Share them with Kathy Manis, okay?
I know what the secret was, okay? The jig's up, dude. And my answer is no.
It's
your show, Jerry. Don't wreck it by talking to me. Goodbye, everybody.
Of all the people that could have taken over the after show in your absence, it would have been great if it was me, don't you think?
No.
You know, it's funny. Yesterday, Animal said, yeah, I've got a replacement for the after show host. I said, if it's A Stringer, no way.
Wait, I want to know. Wait. Somebody in a female.
He never said yes or no, but I guessed.
Somebody in a female voice said no. Who was that?
That was Rayanne.
So Rayanne, it couldn't be me?
From Arizona.
I love Rayanne.
Blake.
He's awesome.
Rayanne, Jerry and I have a history. That's why it was so funny that it was going to be me.
It was funny.
I know. You guys hate each other. It's kind of funny. But
we do not hate each other.
This whole transactional versus relationship thing. How absurd is the topic?
You're more relational than anybody I know. Okay, so for you to sit there and say you're transactional, that's just...
No, what I'm saying is there is no such thing as transactional recruiting. To think that you can just plug a resume and then an HR rec into some lab and check on it the next day and it's a placement is ridiculous.
Yeah, absurd. The whole topic was just absurd.
Yeah.
At first I thought, he's just, it's H.R. Margo from Cincinnati, Ohio, CEO and founder of Hire.
We know who H.R. Margo is.
And this is Mike Astringer, founder and CEO of Human Capital Consultants.
This is Rayanne, divorced mother of four.
Aww.
Jerry Albright, visionary.
Oh,
Black and roll recruiter. Oh, Jerry, thank you so much for singing happy birthday to me yesterday in my voicemail. I'm keeping that forever.
Oh, it's what I do.
What?
I love you.
Jerry, you missed my birthday, just so
you
know.
You sang Margo happy birthday and you didn't sing me happy birthday?
How am I supposed to know when your birthday is?
That's fucked up, man.
September 3rd.
Wow, that is messed up.
There's a lot of stuff that's messed up, but there's no reason
and you're the biggest
dwell
thing.
On it.
Wow.
Yeah, but I wrote a blog post for Jerry, so
and
I pretty much sold his services.
I'm first on that list, okay?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Rayanne. I'm sorry.
Write five blog posts about me, and you'll be surprised.
I'm hurt, Jerry. I'm hurt.
I apologize.
Who else is here? Rayanne and H.R. Margo.
Kathy Manis, who was just totally humiliated over
Kathy.
The race.
Blake, the divorced father of two.
Blake, the canon.
Laura's
Blake, my boyfriend.
Andy.
Resume
Andy.
Strategy still on the line.
Karen,
resume.
Hope,
yeah,
Karen.
Yeah.
Karen, I was pointing out
bonus
that...
Track today.
What?
I was thanking Karen for featuring bonus track today.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Great. You better sing her happy birthday, Karen, or she's going to go off on you whenever her birthday
well,
is.
Well, better have her birthday listed on Facebook, or I won't know.
It is. And it was.
Yeah, that's the only way people know is if it's on Facebook. First of all, Rayanne, you're the prettiest girl on Twitter, so you're beautiful, and we all love you.
That's not going to make up for the fact that Jerry sang to you and not me.
When was your birthday?
September 3rd, ass.
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Jerry, I'm supposed to be in a 1 o'clock meeting. I'm on site today. Can I give you my scores real quick?
Yeah.
I give Adamo a 10 for letting us do our thing today. I think he did a great job moving the show forward. I give the guest a 7 because I think he should have spoke up a little more and jumped and got himself in there. He didn't. He was the guest. He didn't really speak much.
Who was the guest?
Graziano, Mr. Transactional versus Relationship.
Oh, my God. Maybe I need to drop my score. People don't even know who the guest is.
He wasn't the guest. He was not the guest. He was just the lead panel member, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, what happened to Ami Gavert? I thought you were going to have him on.
Tweet before you leave.
He didn't call in. He was too disappointed from last time. I'm out. I just wanted to correct that.
Hey, Blake.
You're out.
Yeah.
Out.
You sound like you got the phone in your throat, man. You all right?
I did then.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, Jerry, he's divorced now, so he's got to have something in his throat.
Yeah, we got to get that kind of stuff on this show. It is a family show.
No, it's not.
Whatever
it is not a family show. Bring it on. It's not a family show.
Hey, you're late for your meeting.
Yeah, I got to go later.
Yeah, man.
Bye, Mike.
Jerry, area code 330 is open now.
330, is that Denver?
No, 330 is Ohio.
No, 513 is Ohio.
No, 330 is Ohio. This is Don Kahn calling from the Cleveland-Akron area.
Yeah, how's it going, Don?
All is well.
All right. Who else
Hi,
is
Don.
Still with us? Who else is here?
I'm here. Maureen.
Mom.
Other than Maureen, I mean.
I'm here. Shannon Myers.
Hey, Shannon. How's it going?
Hi, Shannon.
Good. How are you?
2-0.
Who else is here? Anybody?
Shenanigans.
Jerry.
Shannon's
Hello, Jerry.
Ass kicker.
David's here.
What?
What happened?
I hear Laura is here. How's everything in Canada, Laura?
It's great. It's a little bit cold here in Calgary, actually.
How's your new job doing?
New job is fantastic. I love
so
it.
Excited so excited for you, Laura.
Yeah.
Are you still going to try and do Hire Friday in Canada?
I am. So I've sort of been away for the past couple of weeks, just busy with work, I suppose. But definitely going to try and keep pushing that.
So you're
I'm
an inside.
Keep helping you.
So you're an internal corporate recruiter.
I am. I took a step.
How many are on your team?
There are two of us.
Okay. How many times a day do recruiters call and want to do business with you?
You know what? I've had a couple of calls, mainly from former colleagues who are now working in different areas of the external world. But I guess the way our business works here is that 90% of our workforce is actually permanent. And it's our intention to try and keep, keep it that way. So we do try and hire for the long term and all those sorts of things. So the only opportunities that we ever really get that we can throw to agencies are contract opportunities where there's a finite piece of work where we don't see a future sort of beyond that piece of work.
So are you with a bigger consulting firm then or?
So I work for an IT consulting firm, like in the technology space.
Okay.
They're called Longview Systems, so it's
so
that was a
so
really,
awesome.
Really great move.
I'm so excited for you, sweetheart.
Yeah, it's a good time. So, yeah, we're very busy. We've got a lot of work on the go. So, it's a good time.
I agree with Animal. You do have a beautiful voice.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm a bit uncomfortable.
Me too.
Yeah. what are your scores for the guest? There was no guest. We're going to give Dave Graziano a score anyway.
Score for topic.
I have to say, I sort of came into the conversation a little bit late, Jerry, so I'm not too sure if my scores are really going to be fair, but I have to say I really enjoyed listening to what I heard. I do believe that there is a difference between external agency recruitment and internal recruitment, I guess, from my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a degree of transactional recruitment out there, but I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing. So, there you go.
Do you give us a score?
I'll give the show an overall score of 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really hear Dave talk too much, so I'm going to give him an NA, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess he was not the guest, I guess.
Yeah. But I did enjoy
the
conversation.
You know who was the guest? Jerry was supposed to be the people's coach.
Yeah, who was supposed
and then
to be, dude.
He crapped out at the last minute.
Who?
You want to know why? I had to keep a flexible schedule here. I've got a lot going on other than some
rinky-dink
internet radio show.
I'm just explaining.
Send
everybody
me a check, and then I'll make sure I'm always here every day. Okay.
Hey, guys, I got to go, but it's great to talk to you all.
Thanks for calling.
Bye, Laura. Bye, guys. Animal still on?
Yes.
I don't know.
He's just sour grapes that I broke our engagement.
Free and try your call again. This is a recording. Hang up immediately and
hey,
try your call again.
I have to hang up.
This
I'm
is a recording.
Wow. Okay, good.
Hey, Rayanne, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What? So
I,
we're not really.
You probably forgot about me. That's okay.
Are we waiting for? Was the topic the guest then?
Yeah,
I mean,
I think the topic, yeah, that's right. Topic
the topic is what we're rating now, and then animals
perfect.
Execution of the show.
Okay. I'm not ready to give Animal a 10 just yet. I think that there was a little bit of confusion whenever anybody tried to speak. It seemed like there was a lot, many on the panel today, so there was not a clear opportunity for any one person to make a point until Laura started talking, and of course everybody wants to stop and hear Laura speak, so... I'm going to give Animal an 8.
Okay.
And right. Topic, I'm sick of the topic. There's,
sick of it.
Yeah, sick of it. There's no such thing as either one, so you just do your job. I'm going to give the topic a 4.
Okay, I like it. Margot?
Okay, at the risk of having my name changed to Pollyanna HR, I'm going to give Animal a 10. Because it's
Get
the
out.
First time I heard him do a show where he didn't act like a complete and total idiot screaming his head off. He really
you
did a good job.
You must have missed the first half of the show there.
No, I was here the whole time. Hush up. And then
Jeez.
I give the show a 10 because I thought the show, for the first time, we were having a meaningful conversation about something that really, truly mattered. Not for the first time. We do this all the time. But this show was so interesting, just in terms of really kept me on the edge of my chair. Interesting, man.
What's to be on the edge of your chair about crappy recruiting versus good recruiting?
Because this is something I preach about all
of
the time. Well, this is my topic. This is what I care about. It's what I'm passionate about. Great recruiters and working with the with unemployed people as a candidate advocate. This is kind of my shtick, man. I was rocking and rolling on this topic.
Okay, moving on to Blake Cannon. Blake,
God, that was hilarious.
Lay some scores on us, big guy.
Nice transition there, Jer.
Blake, you're.
Yeah.
I'm not as big a fan on Animal today for some reason.
Yeah, I agree.
And every time that he's butted in on the after show, he's gone down a point. So he's down to like a 6.
Okay, he could have been at an 8 or 9 had he
done. Could have been. But the topic, I thought it was a good topic, but I thought the contributions really sucked. So the topic except was a 5.
So really then the actual, the callers in were the guest.
Yeah.
Yep.
In your opinion.
True.
So then how did we as a group do?
I thought the topic was great. I don't think that there was a lot of good input.
Oh, Blakey! I'm going to have to quit you.
Well, personally,
Blakey.
If
Blakey,
I could find a way
to... Are Blakey too?
If I could find a way to automate placements and I just turn on the button in the morning and check it later on at night to see if anything happened, I'd do it. I love
oh, come
it.
On.
Yeah.
You can't, no,
well,
you care about human beings. You care about human beings. The one thing that I have to give Dave Graziano props
hey,
for
Margo,
is the
let
fact...
Let me be clear, though. Let me be clear. I don't do this because I love human beings. I don't
I
do this because I'm any advocate of some underserved marketplace of people yearning for a deeper connection with some staffing artist. I'm here to generate an income.
I hear you.
Is there a single person on the call that if they could just turn on their computer and go to the beach all day and make a lot of money, wouldn't do it?
Yeah.
Me? I wouldn't. I would not. I'm the only one here that wouldn't.
No, here's what you do. You turn it on, you let it churn, and you go to the beach, and you find the people that really matter and connect there. You can work from the beach.
That's
sure.
what Steve Levy would do.
Yeah, I mean, it was like I was working.
If I was at the beach, I couldn't sit there in my underwear like I'm free to do at home.
Oh, God. Oh, come on.
Are you just rude?
We don't work.
Right there.
We've got rules.
Jerry is too lazy to go to the beach.
Speedos are only slightly less liberating.
All right.
One thing. I have to say one thing, and that is Dave Graziano, I think they were a little hard on him today because they were, you know, coming down on his ass, and that was wrong. Dave Graziano is a good man who tries to do the right thing for people.
Okay, Dave's great.
They were hard on him today, and I don't think that was fair.
No, they weren't.
No one's questioning his goodness.
Yes, he's a good man.
I know, but they were making fun of his accent and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
well,
he didn't get a chance to get a word in edgewise.
Right.
What's
Blake,
problem,
did you give us your second score then, Blake?
I did. I thought it was a 5.
Okay.
It went down again. He said 6, but it went down.
No,
that was
no,
round.
I said one of
them
was a 6.
Kathy Manis, recently single.
I've always been single.
What scores do you
always,
have here for us?
I've always been single. Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. It was not public knowledge. I called it off, by the way.
Why?
I give Animal a 2 for a 1 for doing that to me.
Okay.
And I give the topic. There's not one or the other. I was a corporate recruiter, and you could be relational. So, and it was also extremely transactional because of all the buttons you had to push. So. But then again, everybody can do really well. So I'd give it an 8, the topic.
Okay. Andy, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I can't believe I'm still here, but I'm here.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Hi, Andy.
Hello. You know, I'm going to go with an 8. Just a side comment. I thought Dave sounded off. I don't think he brought his A game today. I just thought he wasn't quite the
Yeah.
We've heard he wasn't the guest, right?
I understand. I just wanted to comment. Okay. I wanted to have something negative to say. So I said,
okay, excellent. Your negatives are duly noted.
Thank you.
Karen, are you still with us?
I am still here.
Okay. You know that when I was saying that was absurd, it was the characterization of that kind of business more so than you yourself being absurd.
No, Karen's awesome.
What I was
like
pulling together was the worst case of everybody's complaints into one model. Nobody experiences that whole thing together, either the positive or the negative. But I have to tell you, when I talk with my clients, they have an overwhelmingly negative experience with recruiters.
Well,
much
as
more
is
so,
mine.
Much
as
more
is
so
mine.
Than yeah.
Karen.
And they don't care whether they're international. They don't care who the company is. They care whether they were treated well through the process,
right.
Whether they got the job or not. They
is
don't
it
care
also
if it's
fair
transactional
to say,
or relational.
Ladies, is it also fair to say that the people who had been treated well, got good feedback, were introduced to the right jobs, and had open discussions about salary and felt good about everything, probably got a job and therefore did not then seek out your assistance?
I've got clients that had a great experience 10 years ago. And so, and wanted to use a recruiter again, and the this time around, it just was horrible, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but Karen, I think it's also unfair to put us all in that category. I mean, I've talked to people who haven't enjoyed their resume writer dealings, but I don't say, they all suck.
Well, I think that this is where really resume writers and recruiters need to be working more together than apart.
Oh, totally agree.
I agree.
Absolutely agree.
You know, I also have to say that on my blog recently, one of the recruiters, I wrote a post saying to people, your recruiter doesn't work for you. You are your own recruiter. And one of the coaches said, you know, I don't think that people should work very hard to build those relationships with recruiters at all. And I don't agree with that, but, you know, Ami Gewurz on my show said that he didn't think job seekers should bother working with recruiters. That they should
That's
really
absurd.
Run their own search.
No, people aren't. Why wouldn't you use a recruiter if they've got a good job for you?
if they got a good job for you, that's one thing. That's great. But, you know, I'm talking about people that are, the people that are, wait, let me finish.
Why would you work with a recruiter if they didn't have a good job for you?
That's what the system demands, and that's what the process looks like. But if you're a serious job.
Is this that recording?
Yes. Oh, God.
Recruiters have become
animals
very unapproachable, unresponsive, and not necessarily the partners that job seekers always imagine.
Hey, this is my show. Shut that off.
Jerry.
Who is this? Kathy?
What, it's Rayan. What's the reason to work with a recruiter?
To get a job.
Because right. So if they didn't have a job for you, why would you continue conversations? Makes no sense.
Exactly.
That's what the relationship is about.
Yeah, see, they're not supposed to just get to know you and spend their days trying to find you a job. It's not what we do, Margo.
Well, that's what I tell them. That was what my post was about. My post was about your recruiter is not working for you. They're working for the client. You have to be your own recruiter.
They're working with you for their client.
Working with you for their client. Exactly.
This is where a job search and recruiting needs to become less transactional. Jobs are found through relationships, period. Whether it's through a recruiter relationship or through something you do of your own, it's a relationship that gets a job.
Very okay,
nice.
Then I want you to write a post for me, Maureen Shareeb. Will you write? Will you put that in a post for me, Ms. Shareeb, for HRMargo.com?
I didn't say that. That was Dawn Kahn. That's Dawn Kahn.
Write a post based on today's conversation. Laura Wieser just posted on Twitter. She's writing a post about today's conversation. So
I want somebody to write a post for me. Whoever just said that, I want you to write that in a post for me.
Dawn, are you on Twitter?
Go ahead.
I'm on Twitter. D. Mular. D M U L A R.
Right. I didn't hear your last name. Gotcha. Perfect.
Yeah, it's Dawn Kahn, but it's Twitter is D Mular, my old name.
Perfect.
Oh, hi, honey.
I don't think that all jobs are found through a relationship.
No, I disagree with that. I think that it's all. I think most business.
No way.
Most money comes in because we are in a relationships business.
Hold on.
It's how
all
you make money.
Hold on a second. All of these companies that post jobs on their own, say LinkedIn or Monster or Career Builder, when the qualified applicant applies and interviews and gets the job, there's no relationship even involved.
I disagree.
What do you think relationship
is?
No,
it's their qualified profile that gets them in the door.
It's what?
It's a qualified profile that gets them in the door, whether they get that through LinkedIn or otherwise. That's their relationships.
That's background. That is not a relationship.
You have to build a relationship to get the guy to join your company.
If you're reading it on a piece of paper, it's not a relationship.
People, if you go to an interview and you get hired, it's not because you built a relationship. We're getting so out of whack here with these terms and buzzwords, I'm about to lose my mind.
You already have lost your mind if you think that it's not relationships that get you jobs. It
no
is
way.
How you relate. If you come in and act like a slug, you're not going to get hired.
That's personality.
Personality and relationships.
No, come on now.
This is a Mars and Venus issue. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Women think about relationships, men think about stuff.
That's not true.
And Jerry, you didn't call me on my birthday, so I don't really think that this relationship.
I didn't know it was your birthday. let's work on that relationship.
That's right. I'll feel better then.
No,
you've got till March to get singing for me.
Yeah, all right.
Nice.
You know.
Jerry, I'm sorry. I put you in a hard spot, sweetheart.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, that's all right. No, that's cool. No, if you go and you interview, you're not building a relationship. You build the relationship once you're there and you're working. Now, come on.
No, I'm not, and I'm not saying relationships are what get you the interview and get you the job. I'm saying relationships open the opportunities. And you can't say
that
they don't.
Sure they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't need to split hairs and use that many words.
No, but
I mean, if you're a jerk, you're not going to get the interview.
No, I thought that somebody said all jobs are because of a relationship.
All meaningful jobs come because of a relationship. I don't want a job that doesn't have some type of connection to what I do. And I think most people work that way.
Yeah, we need to get a guy with a dictionary over here to start hashing some of this stuff out because I think we're getting off track. Though I do appreciate the dialogue. Love it. John, can you give us your scores for the show?
Dawn Khan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for the topic was great. Participation, I'd like to see a little bit more rational participation on this. This is one of the number one topics on recruiting professionals on LinkedIn as well. Somebody said, is anybody else fed up with recruiters sending CVs without even discussing the roles with the candidates? That's transactional.
Praying jobs into Hire Friday. I want to smack them. I mean, there's no relationship building there.
Yeah,
good
right.
Lord. Just calling a resume a CV is probably a transactional recruiter based
right.
internationally.
Right.
Actually, the person asking the question was a corporate recruiter that was getting a whole bunch of resumes just based on stuff being slung at him. The
yeah,
fact
I mean,
of the matter
just
is,
crappy
though,
recruiting business development. I mean, that's...
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So my feedback
on
the topic
then?
Is yeah, five.
Five?
Yep, five. I think we could have. I think we could have explored it a little bit more and deeper and better. But
okay.
But it's a good topic, and the interaction was good. I'd just like to see a little bit more rational discussion,
mm-hmm.
and maybe working from a belief that I think that's where it comes. Is we've got to get to a point where the problem isn't internal and external recruiting and resume writers. It's we're all trying to serve an industry. We need to make space for them all to compete.
Mm-hmm. What was
it's
your
not.
Score for
I'm
now?
Right. You're right. For Animal 7. I'm not going to give Animal high ratings for behaving well.
yeah, right. That should be expected. Maureen, 10 and 10. Maureen.
She's off.
Great. Maureen's gone. Get out of here.
Wow.
Scratched her name
nice.
Off. Shannon Myers, do you have a score for us? Are you still with us? I mean, it's been a long time. Did you hang up?
She's gone.
I know that... We're losing people. Okay. Anybody else that didn't give their score?
I haven't given my score yet, resume strategy.
Hey, Karen.
Oh, geez, who's calling me right in the middle of my score?
Same.
Animal, I'm going to give him an 8. I think he did. Yeah, it wasn't a bad job. I think he could have done a little bit more in terms of
mm-hmm.
not simply repeating everything that he's read and actually added some insights of his own, so that would have been nice. I think the topic, it is starting to feel a little bit dead horse-ish to me,
yep.
Just because it's been chewed over so much. I think there's too much hang-up on the label of transactional versus relational recruiting, and I
yep.
would have liked a little bit more focus on what does it mean to actually give a candidate a good recruiting experience so that they're not completely alienated, but that's, you know, that's my personal hang-up.
So yeah,
I'm going to give the topic a 6.
It's so easy to give a candidate, you know, the experience that they're looking for. All they want to know is are they in or are they out and where'd they miss?
Well, and they want to have enough information going in that they can have a reasonable chance of doing well in the interview. They want to understand enough about the job so that they can go in prepared.
See, I don't see how anyone could go to an interview without, I mean, especially nowadays, it's so easy to send somebody a job description and to tell them about the job. I mean, what position do they even think that they're interviewing for if they're going to an interview without knowing much about the position? I don't see how that happens. It just
and yet
seems
it does.
What's that?
And yet it does. I've had, you know, I had a client last week that the recruiter told me I was interviewing for this. I looked at the job description. I went in. The interview had nothing to do with that. It was something else altogether.
Can you give me kind of more of that example? Was it like... He went in for an accounting job, but it turns out they're looking for a shipping supervisor?
No, it was involved in project management,
yeah.
and it was what they were looking for was somebody very much more at the front end, the strategy, the business development, the putting the project management office in place, and where all of his experience is on the execution side. It's the project tracking, the risk management, the scope and change control, and that's what his expertise is. And so he wasn't really prepared going in that they were thinking at the strategy level that they actually didn't even have a PMO office. That would have been a great piece of information to know going in. He wasn't ready for thinking of that. He thought of it on the fly, and he's good because he knows his stuff. But just having a simple piece of information like they have no PMO, they've got no project management structure, would have been great information to have going in, and the recruiter could have known that.
So I'm assuming that he didn't get a chance to look at the written job description then.
Well, the problem is the job description was so poorly written because if you've got an organization without a PMO, their chances are you don't know and have anybody in there who knows what it actually would involve.
So what it looked like, and I had a look at the job description, is they went on to a couple of job boards. They pulled pieces from here and there. It wasn't well written.
Yeah, that's. But certainly that's a rare example, I would think. I mean, I would hope, you know. But then again, I'm glad that some of my competitors are terrible.
Suck at the job?
No, sorry, man. It makes me look good. It's not hard to look good if you've got people pulling a blindfold over someone and hoping to trick them into the wrong job. I mean, it's hard to do.
I did just a quick on LinkedIn asking about the toxic people to avoid in your job search, and you'd be surprised how many of them said recruiters.
Yeah.
And I was surprised because I've got a lot of connections in the recruiting industry. I've got a lot of respect for how they work and what it actually involves, and yet so many of them had bad news stories.
There are just as many examples of candidates who, let's say, would say, sure, I'll relocate. And they'll go to the interviews, and they'll say, I'll take a salary of X amount. And in the end, no, they don't. So they've wasted my time. They've lied to me. They've been crappy applicants. And there's just as many many crappy applicants going on as there are bad recruiters. I mean, so
that's probably
10
to 1 because recruiters are dealing with a lot more applicants than applicants are dealing with recruiters.
I missed that. What did you say?
It's probably more. There's probably a lot more crappy applicants than there are crappy recruiters.
Yeah,
there's an awful lot of job seekers that just aren't realistic about the job search.
Yeah.
It's a romance thing, but they don't think about what they're doing at the recruiters that they're working with either.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks, everybody, for hanging out for the after show. And did I get everybody's scores? Thanks.
Yeah, but you need to seriously sing happy birthday to every girl you know now from now on. You realize that?
My wife would not appreciate that.
Jerry, mark your calendar, March 9th.
March.
There you go.
I was in Bangladesh this year, so I'll forgive you because I probably might not have gotten your call.
I sensed that.
There you go.
I sensed that. So, Rayanne, next October, or is it October or what? When was it?
September.
September. Blake, how about I'll call you to ask you when Rayanne's birthday is?
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
Hey, Blake, I've got some jobs that I need some help on.
I got your email. I've been working on that this morning.
No, there's something else also.
All right, give me a call.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, it's time to go rip off some candidates. I mean, help find. Did I say that on TV? God. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.